Wow, more rain, eh? You know, I always used to look at the rain, you think, oh, more rain. And then I met a guy from Egypt, and I said, oh, rain. And he goes, oh, rain. He said, rain is so romantic. So whenever I look at the rain now, I think of my friend from Egypt who thought the rain was so romantic. Because I guess you don't get a lot of rain in Egypt, probably. So he should come to Auckland. Yes. Well, we're going to just, for a short time this morning, as we're able, we're going to look at that passage that Rob read for us, which is you'll find in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to look at one verse. It's generally a bit tricky looking at one verse because you can say crazy things from just one verse. But I think we should be pretty safe this time. So I'm going to be talking about what is the deacon's reward. We've ordained them, and you know, they're probably a little bit apprehensive, like, oh, what are we expecting of them? And what do I get out of this? Well, the Bible says there is a reward for deacons who serve well. And I want to talk about that this morning. Because it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And I think it's good for us to hear that because, I mean, it's great. It's a great encouraging and happy time for us as a church. It's just so neat to see more people standing up and being recognized for the gifts that God has given them. But it's also important to understand that when we're setting aside deacons to do the work of deacons, what are we setting them aside to do? I guess the obvious place to start with is the meaning of the word deacon. What does the word deacon mean? Well, it means servant, doesn't it? That's the basic meaning of the word deacon, means servant or to serve. In fact, Jesus himself, he described himself as a servant, didn't he? He said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. The apostles at various times, when you read their letters, they would describe themselves as servants. The great apostle Paul, the apostle Peter, and others, they talked about themselves as being servants too. So we recognize these two men, Brian and Derek. And when we look at a passage like this, I think there's words of encouragement for them, and also words of encouragement for us as well. These are words that are spoken to those who have been recognized in the church as deacons, because it's in that passage that Rob read where he first of all lays out the responsibilities and the requirements of office for a deacon and elders as well. You notice he looks at their character, and a lot of focus in the Bible is always on character. And then he looks at competencies that are required of them as well. But as you read that passage, you notice when he gets to the end, he says, at the end of it, he makes that comment. He says, and the deacon who serves well, the deacons and those who have served well gain an excellent standing and a great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. And of course, those words have particular relevance for Derek and Brian, but also I want you to take them on board as well as we look at them and explain them. So as I've said, deacon means servant, and sometimes that can be a little bit intimidating. And like a lot of ministry that we do in church, it can be tough work, it can be hard. Sometimes we may feel that we're not really appreciated or we're not really recognized for the things that we do, particularly in that area of practical help. Sometimes people are very happy to receive all of the help that you can offer them and throw at them and more, and you can spend all your time, all your spare time, you can spend a lot of money and spend a lot of energy and a lot of emotion and invest that into a person's life. And then they just split, and they, without even a thank you, let alone a goodbye. And sometimes it can be like that. That's what ministry is, the nature of ministry is. And often we have to deal with that. And how do we push through that? How do we cope with that? And so, as in all churches, there may be a temptation to say, well, that's too tough. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. It's too hard. I can't go on pouring my life into the lives of others. I think they've got, like all things these days, there's a term to describe it. It's called compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue. People say, oh, you know, there's been a big earthquake in Christchurch, and you know, now they're having fires up on the hills, and now they're having floods here, and earthquakes in Kaikoura, and all these things, and people go, well, you know, I was really concerned, I helped out, I sent money, and then there was, you know, and after a while you just think, well, it's too much and I can't do any more. The Apostle Paul, he at times experienced that himself. He experienced times of feeling not only worn out and exhausted, but also he experienced times of people just abandoning him and leaving him in the lurch and leaving him to do things for himself. So how do we encourage one another? And I think that's where this passage comes in here. There are temptations, there are stresses, there are a lot of responsibilities. Well, Paul says, those who serve well as deacons, those who do a good job, they get rewarded. And he splits the reward into two parts. There's two parts to the reward, okay? Not just one, two, okay? He says they get a reward from others, from other people, from their brothers and sisters in Christ, but also they get rewarded from the Lord himself. And so the first thing that he says is deacons who serve well gain a good reputation with people. Gain a good reputation with others. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing, as the NIV puts it. And so that's really important for us to know. That the Lord is saying is that when I call you into an office, when I ask you to serve me in his church, I know it's tough. I know that there are times when you may feel like, this is too much for me, or I feel like giving up. And that there are high standards required of me. You know, when you read those passages there, like from 1 Timothy, you kind of read that, and sometimes I've had people say to me in churches when we're looking around for elders and deacons, and they go, well, there's nobody who measures up to that. And you kind of have to say, well, yes, you're right. Nobody actually perfectly measures up to that. But on the other hand, we look for those who stand out, though, and are represented by those words that are being spoken there. Sure, they're not perfect. You're never going to find anybody who's perfect. But there are high standards. And then there's, as I've already hinted at, there can be busyness and tiredness. And then sometimes we just feel discouraged. We do a lot of work, and it looks to us, at least in our minds anyway, it looks like it's come to nothing. But the Apostle Paul says, actually, it's not all that bad. He says, when you are faithful in fulfilling the duties that not only the church has asked you to do, but when you are faithful in fulfilling the calling that God has placed upon your life, God's people will see that. Others around you will recognize that and take note of that. And they will respect that. You know, we all respect people we see doing a good job. You know, people talk about someone like Richie McCaw, and you think, you know, why is this All Black so respected and so looked up to? And people look at him and go, wow, he's a guy who, he's not flamboyant, he's not saying, look at me, you know, I'm more important than others. He's a guy who just kind of put his head down and got on with the job and did a really good job and was faithful and was stable and would stay the course. And, you know, even though he played that World Cup final 2011 with an injured foot, broken foot, he played the whole game because he was committed to the team. And people see that and people recognize that and people respect that very highly, rather than somebody with, you know, who's jumping around and trying to demand attention and and be in the limelight all the time. He says, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing here that someone who serves well as a deacon becomes a person not only of respect, but we know that people who have respect also have influence, don't they? We look to them for leadership because we know that as they serve well and as they are faithful and as they stay the course, we see that their lives are being tested and they are found out to be good quality people. Good quality as they are tested. And it's just a fact of life. Sometimes I think we, as Christians, we over-spiritualize things, don't we? We say, well, you know, the Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And therefore we go on from there and we say, well, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what others think of me. It only matters what God thinks of me. Well, yes, in points of conflict, when people are opposed to what God wants, yes, that is absolutely true. We always seek God's opinion and we always want to do what God values firstly and foremostly. But on the other hand, when we are together as a family, we recognize and we respect those who do a good job. Some people think that maybe, and I've already hinted at this when I was talking earlier, that this means that deacons who do a good job are going to get promoted. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it doesn't actually say that, does it? There's actually nowhere to promote a deacon to. They just get recognized as doing a good job, and you say, hey, they're doing a great job, praise the Lord for that. I'm really thankful for them. I'm really thankful for what they're doing, how they're using the gifts that God has given them, how they are putting everything into the office that they have been called to do. And so there is nowhere to promote them to. And by the way, it's not about promotion and honor, is it? It's about us coming together, using what God has given us, using our gifts in order to serve one another. And so, Derek and Brian, as we ordain you into this office, we want to encourage you with this. Because sometimes it will be difficult. Sometimes you will feel tired or sometimes busy. Or sometimes you will face discouragement. But we want to encourage you that with these words, that those who serve well gain a good reputation among others. In Mark chapter 10, I think I kind of hinted at this before, where Jesus speaks about his coming and service and servanthood. I want to read that and remember what I told you about the meaning of the word deacon. Okay, the word deacon or to deacon means to serve. So let's read these words. What does Jesus say? Jesus called the disciples to him and said to them, you know those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Okay, we can swap that out. Servant. We can put in deacon, right? Whoever would be great among you must be your deacon. And whoever would be the first among you must be the deacon for all. For even the Son of Man came not to have the deacons run around him, but to be a deacon and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's an honorable thing, isn't it? That is something we value and respect and we want to hold up and honor among us as a church. And so I want to encourage Brian and Derek today as you serve well, and I know you will serve well, I know you guys will do a great job, that God rewards you with a good reputation. The second thing that the apostle says in this passage, though, is he says, those who serve well gain an excellent standing or a good reputation among others and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. So it just gets better, doesn't it? It just gets better. They get a good reputation among others, but a deacon who serves well gains a closer and better relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. So, you know, having a good reputation among others is one thing. But we all know that you can be thought of as the bee's knees by everybody. But as Jesus himself says, you can gain the whole world and what? Lose your own soul. And so we can focus our lives just on having everybody like us and think that we're wonderful and great. And yet we're empty inside, meaning that spiritually there is no center to our lives, i.e. Jesus is not ruling in our hearts and lives. And so the idea that what the apostle is wanting to get across here to the deacons is that the deacons who serve well and who hold the office in respect and do a good job, they come into a richer, fuller relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They develop a more intimate bond with him, with the Savior Jesus. Now, I don't believe what we're talking about here is some kind of works-based Christianity, you know, set of steps up to heaven, and somehow if you do lots and lots of work, you get closer to heaven. You know, if you say a few more Hail Marys, that's it. You know, you're a bit nearer to the kingdom, and but you all got to work hard, and if you work hard, you get saved. We're not talking about a works-based religion here or faith. Notice that how he puts it. He says they gain greater assurance or confidence in their what? In their faith in Jesus Christ. So still the relationship that our deacons and you and I all have with God as we serve him is one of faith. It's a faith-based relationship. It's a relationship that is based on the faith that we receive by grace. God gives us the ability to believe in him. And so a deacon who serves well and faithfully grows in their faith relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have greater assurance, greater confidence. They as they serve him and as they do, as they are faithful in what God has called them to do, they know more and more in their hearts that God is for them, that they are loved by him. And the goodness of God and the testimony of God's goodness. You know what I mean by that? The testimony of God's goodness. You know, Mari and I had opportunity to reflect on that over this past week with her mum, to look at her life and say, here is somebody whose testimony was the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of Jesus just flooded into her life and made her somebody to admire and respect. That's a testimony that we have. And so as deacons serve well, as they're active in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of the goodness of God in their lives grows and shines. And as they're active in serving him and doing his will, then that becomes brighter. I think sometimes we have this idea, don't we, brothers and sisters, that how do I get to be more godly, or how do I get to grow in my life as a Christian and my faith? And we think, you know, what I need to do is go off somewhere quiet, go off into the bush somewhere by myself. No cell phone, no TV, no, you know, no coffee, nothing like that. Just go off and be somewhere, and then I'll become more godly. I'll become more holy. And, you know, there were a group of people, I love, you know, church history. There were a bunch of people called Stylites. Anybody know about the Stylites? You need to know about Stylites. There was a guy called Simeon. You know, he was a Stylite. Tell you what he did. He found a big, tall pillar, and he lived on the top of it for 37 years, right? Little boys would bring him some bread and some goat's milk each morning. I don't really want to go there as to how else he did stuff, but he was greatly admired and respected because he lived on the top of a pillar for 37 years. And they said, he's a holy man, Stylite. I want to be like him, a pillar man. And sometimes we think that that's the only way to godliness. Well, I'm sure that, it's good to go apart by yourself, isn't it? We know the Lord Jesus himself withdrew, and he would sometimes take his disciples, or sometimes he would go apart by himself to pray and to commune with the Father. But you know what Paul's saying here, though, isn't he? He's saying it's actually in serving and doing good by acts of ministry and acts of love and acts of service for one another that we also grow in godliness. We also grow in our faith. We gain a greater confidence in our relationship with God. Because as we serve one another, what are we doing? We're expressing the love of God for one another. The love of Jesus is coming through us into the lives of others. And as you do that, you go, yes, God is good. God is good. I'm experiencing and I'm able to show this to others in a small way. And so he says here, as we are faithful in those who serve well, they gain great assurance, great confidence in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The path to a closer, warmer, stronger, more confident relationship with God, he says, is this. It's the path of service. It's the path of service. So he links this love in a number of places in the scriptures. As you read what Paul himself has to say, he links love and love for others and our faith in together as being inseparable. I'll just read you one passage here. This is from Ephesians chapter 1. And he says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your..." Listen, he says, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." You see how he does that? He says, when I think about you and when I give thanks for you, I'm giving thanks for your faith and your love. I'm giving thanks for your faith in God and the way that you're showing the love of God to others, the way you're expressing it, the way you're serving and looking out for one another. Because he says when we do that, we come into a closer relationship with him. And so the Apostle John could say, "Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, you may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Confidence that comes through service. So we've got two fine men. I'm very happy to have Brian and Derek today. And as they serve, we know that the scriptures say they're going to gain a good reputation, they're going to increase in their faith and in their love for the Lord Jesus Christ as they serve his people. And we obviously want to be supporting them and praying for them and offering ourselves to help them. But you know, the same truths apply to us. This is not a sermon just for Brian and Derek. It's a sermon for all of us, isn't it? As we serve one another, others in the church will be blessed and recognize and give thanks for our help and our love and our faithfulness. And we too will grow in our confidence for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what's really, really important? Is that you understand really, really clearly that that's not the starting point. That's not how you get to be in a good place with God. If you think your life right now is in kind of a messy place, if you think right now that God is way, 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 he's somewhere over the horizon, okay? You can't even shout and he can hear you. You know, his cell phone ain't going to even reach him. If you think that's where you're at with God right now, you're not going to get close to him by trying to do lots of good stuff. It's good to do good stuff, but that's not how it happens. It's a faith relationship, isn't it? You need God to come and to give you faith. You need God to come and give you the ability to believe in him. And as you put your trust and confidence in him, as he overcomes your unbelief by faith with the faith that he gives, then you come into a relationship with him. Then, to use the way we speak, then you are saved. That's the only way. That's the only way that you and I can come into a saving relationship. Including Derek, including Brian, you know, don't think that becoming deacons now somehow shortcuts the system for them and they leap up the, you know, like snakes in ladders, they've gone up a ladder somewhere. No, it doesn't work like that, does it? Only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for all of us starts by reaching out the hand to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to commend our brothers to the Lord today, thanking God for them. Keep praying for them. Don't forget to pray for Brian and Derek, and pray that God would also raise up others to help serve in the church. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, that when we gather to recognize these two men, we can do so with absolute confidence that it's you, Lord God, at work. You've been at work in their lives and you're at work in our lives. You've led us by your Spirit, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would really bless them. We pray for Brian and for Derek that you would give them the strength and give them the wisdom and help them to serve you. Thank you for them, Lord. We pray for ourselves that we would be encouraged and we would be motivated as we see their lives and see their service to also devote ourselves to serving you. We thank you, Father, that there is rewards for those who serve you, that we gain a good standing or reputation amongst others, and also we come into a stronger, fuller, and more confident faith relationship with you. We thank you for this. We thank you that, Lord God, you are the one who oversees all things. You give gifts, and Lord, you reward us according to the use of our gifts. We ask you all these, and thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.